I miss a green, for example, I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
Fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
Arnold Palmer is the Masters champion of 1960. He has birdied the last two holes to catch and then move ahead of Ken Venturi, one of the greatest displays of courageous golf that anybody has ever seen any place.
Now, up the hill.
Oh, did you ever see one like that? I think that's one of the greatest putts I've ever seen in my life.
There it is!
Can you believe it?
Nick Faldo! There it is! A win for the ages!
Is it his time?
Yes!
Well, here it comes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow! In your life have you seen anything like that?
Hello, friends. I'm Jim Nantz. It's my great pleasure to welcome you to the Masters Tournament. I've heard it said before, it's a tradition unlike any other.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Fried Egg Podcast. Today we are joined by PGA Tour and Champions Tour star Craig Stadler. Craig was a four-time All-American at USC and most notably won the 1982 Masters. Craig, 2014 was your last Masters. What's a typical Masters week look like for you now?
Obviously, the landscape has changed a bit, but... I'm here all week. I get in Saturday and I play Sunday, and then I've got dinners during the week. I've got past champions there on Tuesday. Tuesday night I go to the cocktail party with my wife on Wednesday, and I just kind of hang out during the week. And I got the range a little bit. I like watch the guys I haven't seen practice a bit because I've been so removed from the PGA Tour for 15 years now. Mm-hmm. Only chance I get to see him is occasionally I'll watch it on TV. So I spent a little time out of there and just kind of hang around the club and got a lot of friends and a lot of members that are friends and just kind of socialize more than anything, I guess. But it is kind of a work week as well, so I'm busy all week.
Speaking of the champions dinner, who's put together the best menu since you've attended?
The best menu over all the years?
Yeah.
God, I don't remember half of them. The combinations are pretty bizarre. We've had from haggis to steaks to monkey sausage to barbecue. Nobody has ever, since I think a couple of years after I won, they started with past champions being able to pick the menu. As far as I can remember, we've never had fish.
Interesting.
Which is kind of interesting.
So you didn't get to pick the menu when you won?
No, I think that started in 85.
What would be your menu if they let you have at it?
Oh, we had your choice of steak, chicken, or fish.
any of them stick out as the worst dinner?
None of them have been bad.
Okay.
I mean, the thing that people, that half the guys probably didn't like was the haggis, I'm guessing, but I thought it was fine. But no, it's always been entertaining. I think the most bizarre one was lump meat crab cocktail with hot sauce, dessert, and cheeseburger. It was Tiger's first win.
a little bit all across the board.
Yeah, it has been. It has been. It's always been good. Wonderful.
I recently watched the 1982 final round when you won, and I'm curious. The 17th hole, you got one of the worst divot lies I've ever seen, and then you hit a great shot that spun off the front of the green that it looked like it was going to be really close. Have you ever gotten two worse consecutive breaks on a hole?
I don't really call them breaks. I mean, it's there. It just matters where your ball goes. But, it wasn't exactly what I wanted to see after the tee shot. But, the pin on the front right there from that giant dude, I hit a heck of a second shot. It almost went in. But, anything on the anything on the front right over there, if you leave it short, it's going to come back off the green, which couldn't really do much about that. It was better than burying it. Chipped it up to about 6 inches or so, made an easy par. So it was, but it was a trying back nine, obviously.
Yeah.
I shot 40 my opening nine on Thursday, and I shot 40 my closing nine on Sunday. So not very good weekends.
They usually say, it's if you can avoid one bad 18 hole. So you bookended it.
I did. I shot 75 the first round and 73 the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Or the last round, but the Thursday and Friday and Saturday were pretty decent in between. Excuse me. That was the second year they had gone back to bent grass, and the greens were really fast. Probably the fastest. A couple years ago, they were really quick too. Probably about the same, but they were absolutely lightning fast. But they were really spiked up. They're just a year old, and we didn't have soft spikes back then, and they got spiked up pretty good, so which I think is the main reason that 400 par won the tournament.
Yeah, it seemed like the conditions were really tough the first two rounds too, with the wind in the second round, and then obviously the fast greens. It's in terms of playing at Augusta on like a normal week, say a month or two before the tournament, versus the practice rounds versus the actual tournament, how does the golf course change?
The greens are slower. I never came in early and played practice rounds, but the last 8 or 10 years, I've taken a couple buddies once or maybe sometimes twice a year. And the golf course is in immaculate shape year round, but the greens are definitely a bit slower than they are during the tournament. I tend to, when I do bring some buddies, friends that come with me, we play the Irish Tees because it's pretty much the same as it was back in the 80s, distance wise.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I'm 65 and it's 30 years later, the golf course is about the same for the members' tees, maybe a little shorter. But I think it's, for me, it's a lot more fun from the tees. I enjoyed that course a little shorter than the length it is now, is for these guys is the place basically plays the same as it did for us 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're hitting 9 irons and we're hitting 4 irons.
Now that we're onto the course, outside of obviously the distance, what would you say are kind of the biggest changes that have happened over the years?
Not much. They don't make major changes. The only one they really made major, well, two of them, they Jack redid the green on 13 and a long time ago. And then every other year they seem to slowly build the hill the exact same way and creep that tee back on 11 to where from the bottom you can go off 10 and it looks the same. But all of a sudden you get up there and now it's, 70, 80 yards longer than it, or 70 yards longer than it used to be. Mm-hmm. It used to be 440, 60 yards, and that's 505, I think. But those are the two major changes. Most of it, and moving the first tee back.
Yeah.
If you remember way back. Remember back in the 70s and 80s and actually the 90s, early 90s or mid-90s probably, the back of the first tee used to be in front, about 8 yards in front of the magnolia tree. And now the front of the first tee is about 20 yards behind the magnolia tree.
Yeah.
So they've moved that hole back 60 yards.
It's like a bunch of little changes. Obviously, they've never done anything significant with the routing of the course, but it always seems like there's a few tweaks every year.
Yeah, they usually tweak some greens. They haven't done really much of anything in the last 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. The last thing I remember them doing was building, well, they messed around a little bit with the front right of three, and then they added that little plateau on the right side of seven. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything major, they're not even really major, but something that catches your eye the first time you walk upon a green or something. I don't think anything like that has happened in 5, 6 years now.
You had a great deal of success at Augusta. Outside of your win, you had a number of top tens. Was there something about the golf course that fit your eye, or something about the golf course that really suited your game?
No, not really. I mean, everybody says it's a hooker, it's a guy that can draw the ball golf course, but I never thought it was. The obvious on 10 and 15, or 10 and 13, and a little bit on 14, we really had somewhat of an advantage hitting a draw off the tee. Other than that, golf course never bothered me not being able to draw the ball very well. Mm-hmm. And I just love playing there. I love the golf course. I won early in my career, which gives you some, gives you a good attitude going in every year. But I love putting in the greens, as opposed to a lot of guys, being afraid of the greens. I love putting them. And, I just got along with the place well, which usually happens. You go somewhere where you've played well and you've won or come close to winning, you look forward to going back every time.
Yeah, the positive attitude, I feel like, is huge for anything when you go back to a place that you've won. Whereas other people sure. have been burned by it, and I think about Rory a lot now with some of the troubles he's had out there, it almost becomes a mental thing.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a stretch to imagine that you get going good, and if it's happened a lot in the past, back in the back of your mind, there's I hope I don't do this again, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it's a little bit of a factor.
People. Always talk about, for first timers, the advice they get from different players. If, say, one of the amateurs like Doug Gim or Doc Redman came up to you and asked for a piece of advice, what would it be?
Well, their games are so now, but, the challenging thing about Augusta is you never in a year or two or three can learn the greens and around the greens. I think the golf course is a constant learning process forever. And, you have to know where you can miss it, where you can't shortside it, obviously, with your irons to the greens. But you can't go everywhere. In 3 days of practice, you can't go absolutely everywhere on the golf course. You can try, but you can be out there for 10 hours a day. And, the live and learn will sit pretty good there. When you miss a green in a couple spots where a pin is, and you get down and see what you have. Those are the ones you don't forget. And those stick in your mind, and next time you go there to see that pin, I can't miss it there. So it's a constant learning process, no doubt about it.
Yeah, everybody talks about, approach shots, distance, and as you alluded to, that right to left shot, but it seems like the recovery shot is so important from around those greens there.
Well, it's just you shortside yourself there, it's impossible.
In terms of the most underrated great hole out there, what's your favorite hole that might be a little less talked about than the obvious ones?
That's a good question. Not sure I have an answer for it. I think my number five used to be one of the hardest holes out there. But with the guys, as far as these days, it's not now. And every hole has its character. I think number nine is a lot harder hole than people give it credit for. It's not the easiest you have to get. But then again, the guys now these days, if they get down there and they get somewhere, they miss a tree is going down, then they've got a wedge in. So, mm-hmm. It takes away a lot of the difficulty that is if you're stuck way back on the side of the hill. And obviously, there's some guys that don't hit it a mile still, but not many. But, you know, that's the beauty of that golf course. Every hole has its own character. Every hole is different. The par threes are all different. You've got one that's long and really hard from the back edge of the tee, top of the back tee. It's 250, I think, now. On four, you've got 180 yards, 170, 60. That way, put the pin straight downhill on six. You've got, obviously, 12, a little green over Ray's Creek. And then you've got 16, which is a fairly benign hole, except when they put the pin, depending on where they put the pin, they put it front right or top right. It's a really hard hole. They put it back left. You get a good all at once. So every hole is different, even the par threes. Fives are different. Fours are different. And which is my side of a classic golf course. I love a golf course. You play it once, you remember every hole in the golf course. And Augusta is definitely one of those courses.
Yeah, I always think something else you alluded to is how you said you learn something every time you go around it. And I think that's another thing about great golf courses is every single time you play it, it reveals itself a little bit more.
Especially with Augusta. I mean, because, you know, Augusta is, for the most part, a very easy driving golf course. It's not difficult to get the ball in the fairways. But then that's where the fun begins, obviously.
You talked about the distance a little bit. I didn't know. I'm 31, so I wasn't around when, you know, Dan Pohl was in his heyday. I didn't realize how such a prodigious driver of the golf ball he was, and you know what a great athlete he was. And then in the playoff with you guys, I saw he was hitting a 7-iron into the 10th green, which was pretty crazy.
Yeah, you could do it on 10. All I had to do was get over the hill, and, you know, it was hard and fast all the way down to the bottom. We drove it probably three steps apart.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a really short backswing, still does, but just got a lot of strength in his legs and his arms, and was a very long hitter back in those days.
Mm-hmm. So everybody with the, I don't know if you've seen, they put all the final rounds onto YouTube, the last 50 years of the Masters. Everybody's talking about their favorite years. What shots or in tournaments and years do you think don't get spoken enough or forgotten?
Well, they get fairly easy forgotten because there's so many of them. These guys are so good these days. And, you know, you've got them from, gosh, however far back you want to go. You know, back in the 70s, you've got Jerry Pate sticking at a foot of the Athletic Club. You got early 80s. You get Watson chipping in at 17 at Pebble. All kinds of shots to choose from. God knows how many. Miller and Nicklaus and Palmer and Player. And, you know, Player, that little kind of short shot he hit and or something, he stuck the foot on 17 at Augusta. I mean, just all kinds of shots.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you don't have room for them all.
Yeah, yeah.
The two gammas made on 18 to beat Norman. The bunker shot that Tway made to beat Norman. There's all kinds of choices out there.
Yeah,
the shot, and not to bring up Norman, but the second shot he had on 18 to get me, which was probably one of the worst golf shots on a finishing hole, other than. You know, the guy at Memphis that made 9 or obviously
Vandeveld
at Turnberry. But, you know, the shot, Greg hit a perfect drive on 18. Just perfect. Had an 8-iron and missed it right at the right bunker. It's kind of hard to do. He got the position he's in that last hole. You wonder where the heck that stuff come from. But, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, there's a whole rash of 18 holes. Shots to choose from.
Especially, I mean, when you think about if you're leading a major championship, you're clearly pretty locked in. So that, you know, missing right of the right bunker is even bigger, like outside the dispersion for a guy that week, because if you're leading, you're obviously hitting the ball really well.
Exactly. And, you know, the whole mindset, you wonder what changes from playing 71 holes brilliantly to the last hole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it should be the same mentality all the way through. And well, this is what got me here. You know, I'm not going to hope I stay there. I'm just going to get one more.
So when I play amateur golf, like a mid-am and state-am stuff, and I'm usually more nervous on the first tee than I am coming down the stretch at a tournament. Is that the way you felt in your career, or is it was there specific spots on golf courses you were most nervous?
No, I think I was fairly fortunate. I didn't get real nervous.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of was, when I started playing well, I loved it. I played better, which wasn't all that often. I didn't play well that often, but you know, it differs for everybody. But you know, some guys bask in the fact that they're in the top three every week coming down the stretch, and they play better. Like Tiger, obviously, when he got mad, he played better, mm-hmm. almost 100% of the time. But everybody's different, and everybody handles whatever you want to call it, nerves, pressure, butterflies, being in the position they're in, not being in the position they're in. They want to be in. You know, everybody handles it different. You can't really pull out one or the other to, you know, talk about, a lot of these announcers talk about, you know, shouldn't have done that. Well, that's what he plays. You know, that's what he does.
Mm-hmm. Everybody always likes to talk about Augusta using a Masters ball that might be reduced distance. If they put that into place and on the first tee they said you have to play this ball or you don't play, do you think all the players would play?
I don't think it will ever be a question. I don't see how they can do that. I don't see any way. There's so many contracts, ball contracts. There's God knows how many different companies' balls are being used every week. That's what they sell golf balls with.
Mm-hmm.
That's their advertising right there. Guys use them in majors. And, you know, a guy likes a softball, a guy likes a hard ball, a guy likes a little less spin, a little more spin. You tell everybody, except the select few, they build the ball it's exact when they're playing somehow. You have to change balls after your career, in the middle of your career. And I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. I don't know. The Masters is probably the only venue where it can happen because they're their own event. They can just say, you know, this is the way it is. And if that will happen, it won't happen. But if it were to, I'm guessing that everybody would still play. But when are you going to show them balls? Are you going to give them a couple months to play a new ball while you're playing an old ball in regular tour events? It's I don't think it's a viable concept. Sounds good, but in the planning, same as Nicklaus wanting to, you know, make one ball for the tour.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, who's going to make it? Are you going to make the same as the PGA Tour going to make it? They get to stamp it with everybody's, all the different companies' logos, but even though it's the same ball and they don't make it, it's not something that can work, I don't think.
Yeah, it's tricky.
It's a spot.
I don't see it
happening.
Most, great ideas and executing them are two different challenges. And, but it's, you know, with the fairways and how, I guess, had they started cutting them the different direction towards the end of your playing career there?
They've done various things over the years. I know, one of my favorite stories with past champions is, one year we played on practice round on Tuesday, and they had about the moors were probably 10 foot wide, and they went down along the creek towards the green. Next one came back towards the tee down, and they went opposite directions every 10 feet, blowing the fairway, either towards the tee or towards the green. And after the dinner, there's kind of a Q&A for the chairman, and it was Horton Harden at the time. This is probably in the early 90s. And Arnold got on 13. You've mowed the fairways different direction every width of the mower, going down hole or going into the hole back towards the tee. Because if you hit a drive and hit the down green, you roll around the corner 40 yards, you hit it 6 inches right, and get the one more towards the tee, it's going to check, roll 5 feet, and have mud on the ball. So their reason for that. Or just looked at Arnold and said, well, we'll take that up in front of our board of experts. And Arnold looked at him. He says, well, Horn, what exactly do you think you have in this room tonight? And Horn just looked at him. He says, Arnold, we'll take that up in front of our board of experts.
So
that was rather humorous and rather just unbelievable. You just like, really? And he had a perfect point. Come Thursday, they're all mowed the same direction, all the fairways. So they did change it, which they know, because it took a fairly large amount of fairness out of the game on that hole, especially.
Mm-hmm. Do they ever ask past champions or players for input?
No, there were a couple past champions involved in the decision to way back when to tell you back in 2008 or something to tell you that once you turned 65, you couldn't play anymore. And which is probably, came back to bite them in the butt is one of the worst decisions they ever made. But they did fortunately reverse it like 3-4 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And, you got Jack Nick, 65, who still plays pretty good, and thousands of people want to come out and watch Nicklaus, and the same with Palmer. Yeah. You're going to tell them both at 65 they can't play anymore.
I mean, Tom Watson.
Well, that didn't take long to reverse. Yeah, it took like a couple months to reverse that decision.
Tom Watson almost won a major championship at 60. So,
sure. Yep.
The 12th hole obviously gets talked a lot about. Is that kind of the point of the golf course that is the toughest single shot out there, or is there another one that makes you think a little bit more?
No, I don't think there's a shot on that golf course that has the same scrambled news and bends and, what your thoughts are, not news, but, what you think your head can change so often. With the wind and everything else, I don't think there's a harder golf shot in golf than 12 at Augusta. Possibly with a downwind 40-mile-an-hour wind, which it never happens, but if it was 17 at TPC, might be as hard a shot. But it's as good as these guys are, it's still very, very much a guessing game on that tee every day.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. You look at 11 and the pins. And the flag's blowing straight back at the tee. You look at 12, the flag's blowing to the right, standing up blowing to the right, and you look over to the right on 13, and the tree's blowing to the left. So you just never know what's going on with that hole.
So you don't have any little tricks for the wind there?
No, you're just very happy to get it on. You're very happy to get it on the green if it's windy, and it's pretty much always windy down in that corner as well.
We get last question, then we'll get you out of here with our, we do this overrated, underrated segment, but who are you picking this week?
Picked anybody. I thought about it last week. We were doing a radio show and all about 25 names popped into my head. So you've got a lot of guys playing really well right now. You got Phil playing well, Tiger's coming back, Rory's playing well, Justin Thomas is playing great. Just a number of guys are playing really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be a good event. It always is. But I don't know if I were to pick one. Well, I really don't know. Bubba won last week. He loves the place. So you just have a slew of players that could win.
Yeah, I was putting together a storylines piece, and I was kept writing, and I got to like 1,600 words, and I felt like I left some stuff out. I can't remember a Masters that has had so much interesting kind of build up with big name winners. Obviously, Tiger coming back. It should be a great week this week.
Yeah, Tiger coming back. Phil's playing great. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go down and on 10 hands, you can cut them.
Yeah. I think there's about 20 guys that you wouldn't be surprised if they won, which is pretty crazy.
No.
So,
and you talk about those 5 or 8 we just talked about, and then you're leaving out like leaving out Jason Day and whoever else. There's potential for a lot of guys to win.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even bring up Spieth or Rory.
Yeah.
So
Jordan Spieth, there you go. I mean, yeah. Yep.
So, overrated, underrated. You just you can just say, you know, one, or you can expand. Pimento cheese sandwiches.
Underrated.
Especially for the price there.
Definitely underrated.
driving down Magnolia Lane.
Extremely underrated.
The 14th hole.
And it's got a lot of hype too. It's still underrated. What's that?
And then the 14th hole.
I would say about either. It's probably, you know, if you want to, it's in the middle somewhere, but as opposed to past years, I would say probably now it's a little overrated because they lost that big pine tree on the left side of the green.
Mm-hmm.
Made that second shot to the left pin a lot easier than it ever was.
Interesting. I didn't even think about that. All right. Well, Craig, thanks so much for your time. And we look forward to watching the Masters and appreciate your insights into Augusta.
My pleasure. Be a great week again, as it always is.